Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. I'm going to talk about the Biden family this morning. Number one, let's first talk about Joe. He tested positive again, and he's had all the shots. Jimmy, what are your comments on that?
Again, you can't prove a negative. What you can prove is the shots did not work to keep COVID at bay, as promised by the CDC and Dr. Anthony Demigod Fauci. So, you know, the reality is there's more and more information coming out. You cannot hide it. The CDC attempted to hide it. And that, in fact, the vaccination, it's not a vaccination, but this attempt to stop the spread of the virus was false, lie, and it is actually benefiting the pharmaceutical corporations, right. Pfizer and Moderna in particular, at the expense of the American people, not including the psychological damage, not including the amount of impact on school children being locked out of schools for no justifiable reason, not including the massive economic damage, the level of suicides that have increased, the drug addiction and the drug fatalities that have increased because of COVID, and the complete dismemberment of trust and faith by the American people in our, you know, health system.
Well, Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about the fatalities that have increased because of what's going on with the lockdowns. Now, I have done in the past, singularly, talking with Dr. John Huber about where COVID is bad, where what's causing the deaths, etc., from COVID, from the not from COVID itself, but from the lockdowns. Lockdowns are causing an extremely high amount of depression.
It is. And, you know, people really are not seeing a lot of hope. They're not seeing hope. And, of course, you know, the damage done to young students and, of course, the families that were locked down and the economic impact and loss, it did not hurt Amazon. It didn't hurt Google. It didn't hurt the big retailers. Home Depot, Lowe's stayed open. What it hurt was the small businesses,
right,
and the massive amount of lower income people that had to depend on government handouts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that doesn't give you confidence. It doesn't help you build a better life when you're depending on someone's handouts. And of course, that's what's fueled this massive, you know, inflation issue, which obviously is making it even worse. People's
right.
depression is even getting more and more advanced as they're concerned about the future, about their children, about their ability to pay their bills, about the, you know, ability to buy a home, to yep. Have a better life. These are very, very damaging impacts that the health experts, Deborah Birx, Fauci, and the fools like Mike Pence, who actually supported these decisions, you know, that took continuation of lockdowns and lobbied and secretly manipulated data to ensure that some states did do that, according to Deborah Birx herself in her recent book. It's devastating. It's devastating to people and emotionally very unnerving.
Well, the country, whoever is behind this, and I think the Chinese basically getting this bug into the system, for lack of better terms, are 100% behind it. It has devastated our country. It has been as effective easily as a military invasion. There's no question about that, Jim, in my opinion. Now, let's get over to Joe's son, Hunter. I understand from what I heard yesterday on some of my sources, from some of my sources, is that the FBI is going after Hunter Biden. Is that true?
Well, the prosecutor in Delaware was a Trump appointee, but he stayed through the administration for some reason, and that reason must have been some relationship with the Biden administration.
Yeah.
So whether or not, I mean, the FBI is certainly attacking political opponents of the Biden administration on a daily basis. The Department of Justice is doing that. Whether or not the FBI or the prosecutors and the Department of Justice will go after Hunter Biden with any real zeal is, in my mind, incredibly questionable. We know, and this is, you know, there's some things that they can't hide. So they've got to do something about it.
Right.
The Justice Department, the prosecutor, they're going to have to do something on the facts, on the amount of money that was brought in and he didn't pay taxes on. They're going to have to do something on the videos where he's transporting prostitutes and paying, you know, different prostitutes that he's taking. You know, they're going to have to do something about the crack and the, you know, the large amounts of crack that he's videotaping himself weighing. They're going to have to do something about the gun. Those things they've got to do. But what they're not, I don't think they're going to do. I think those are distractions, and they allow him to allow the Department of Justice and the prosecutor to avoid linking Joe with Hunter. I think they're going to avoid the deeper core issues, which is the corruption with Chinese businesses and the influence peddling from the amount of relationships and money that was brought in from those businesses, those business deals, and the fact that Joe Biden was using his office as vice president and his experience in order to actually expand his personal wealth by working with a incredibly corrupt and authoritarian regime of the CCP.
Yeah. Well, I think that he can basically count out being the president in the next term. Jim, I want to get over to a different subject. I want to talk a little bit about some of the issues that Irish Tony and some of the other bloggers brought up yesterday. They seem to be very, very pro-Russia invasion. I don't understand that, but I did promise Tony that through a one of my comments that we would talk about that today. I personally feel the Russians are 100% wrong in what they tried to do in what they continue to try to do, I guess I should say, in Ukraine. Do you agree with me?
Yeah. Look, sovereign nation Russia attacks sovereign nation Ukraine.
Right.
And the justification that they were protecting people in the Donbass, I'm sorry, but the Donbass had gotten a little bit of its self-independence. They were actually operating in a very controlled area. They had a sizably effective and an effective force that kept Ukrainian forces from actually controlling it. But this really wasn't so much about the Donbass. It was really about the idea that European ideologies, Western ideologies, and some of it was liberal and globalist, were moving closer to the Kremlin. And the place that it was most impactful was actually, and this is, a lot of people don't understand this problem, but it wasn't so much Kiev, Moscow. It was actually what was happening in Belarus and Lukashenko losing a grip on the authoritarian power he was using, which was directly related to Moscow's relationship and the business relationships with the major globalist corporations that were operating in Ukraine from the previous relationships of Soviet, you know, that these guys were all working together. They were people, the oligarchs that took power and control of the entire former Soviet Union, and they worked together. And as that was becoming threatened, Putin had to act. That was his move. Now, the argument that I can take from the right and from people, our listeners, is that somehow Putin is going to save us from this globalist Western ideology. Now, there's some, you know, theory behind that that makes a little bit of sense. But here's the fact in my view, and you can disagree with me, that's fantastic. Russia used force. They were incapable of accomplishing their major objective, which was to get this Zelensky government out of power within the first 72 hours.
Right.
They have been consolidating some control on those in that eastern border area because, look, it's on their border. They can maneuver. They can logistically supply. They can put up a front. They can do things in that area that they could not do deeper in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Ukrainians, by over 80% margin, wanted to move by democratic processes, by polling, by everything else, wanted to move away from this oligarchic control that was done through Moscow, former corrupt Kiev officials, and
right.
Belarusian officials.
Right.
They were moving away from it. And that was scary to those people in power in Moscow, in in Minsk, in Belarus, and of course, the people that were operating in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So they use force. They've killed literally thousands of people with, in my view, no justification. If they wanted to protect the East, they could have invaded the East and just stopped there. They could have continued on with the process, but they felt an opportunity with the weakness in the United States, in the leadership, and watching how the Biden administration failed so miserably in Afghanistan, and it failed basically everywhere in an international way around the world. Putin took an opportunity. He took an advantage of it. And I think that in the end, you know, no matter how much you hate the Ukraine, you know, Ukrainian government or how corrupt you think it is, they wanted to make a choice. They made a choice. And they elected Zelensky by 73% of the vote. He was an outsider from that system. He was not a member of that oligarchy that had been changing hands back and forth in Ukraine and has changed hands back and forth in Moscow. And Lukashenko's never left office. So he was outsider. Ukrainians wanted to move away from that. And that was primarily because of Russian invasion of Crimea and the continued problems they were having in the Donbass region. And so it's a lie, and it's you're convincing yourself of something wrong when you say, hey, it was just to protect the Russian population in the Donbass. They could have moved to Russia at any time, but that had nothing. That was not an option, for Putin in Moscow. You know, they actually wanted to take territory. They wanted to control that ground corridor into the Crimea. That was a national security issue for them. They wanted the resources. They wanted to block off and control the world as best they can with the grain exports. They wanted to get the gas and oil resources in the Black Sea around the Crimea. And I'll tell you, they are making some headway with it. But I mark my words, there's going to be something very different that happens within the next month or two. I think people are going to be surprised.
Now, tell me what you mean by that.
So if you look back in the Serbian army, controlled with the support of Serbians about, you know, four major areas. They're called UNPAs in Croatia in 1993, 94, 95. The Serbian army, the former Yugoslav National Army, was much more powerful than Croatia.
Yeah.
Had armored tanks, had, you know, I mean, the guys, the Croatians, I was there during the war. I saw them. They're, you know, haphazardly in jeans. They were very, very poorly equipped. They got a little bit of support from Germany. They got more support from, you know, outside, you know, entities. But on August 4th and 5th, 1995, they conducted an operation after being supported by U.S. advisors in Croatia. Developed a plan called Operation Storm. And I would recommend that the people go, that all our listeners take a look at the history of this. That operation, really within a month or two, recaptured massive areas, all four UNPAs, all UN-protected areas in Croatia, and pushed the Yugoslav-supported Serbians, including Yugoslav National Army forces, out of those areas. And they did it with fewer weapons, fewer equipment, with but they did it rapidly. And my expectation is that with all the external funding from NATO members and from the, you know, Europeans that are scared to death of Putin, that the Ukraine government and Zelensky's forces will attempt a counterattack similar to Operation Storm at some point. And the Russians are going to have a very difficult time. And, of course, there's some more information out there that Chechens, who had two major wars with Russia in 94, 95, and then 99 for in 2000, which actually lasted quite a few years before they consolidated power. Chechens are actually considering developing another conflict in that region to put pressure on the government. And Dokar Zhdaev Brigade or Battalion and some of these people, which may actually cause the Russians to really think what's happening. There's some ways the Russians are, they're still maintaining, you know, their resources. They've got a great financial haul from the oil industry and the gas industry continuing up. They've got Europe kind of by the throat in some ways. But to me, I think it's all in a very tenuous hold. And I suspect, whether successful or not, I suspect you're going to see some operation at the end of this summer that will attempt to retake those positions before the winter comes. And they'll have a lot of weapons training and probably a lot of volunteers who will make that happen.
Interesting situation. Jimmy, we've been going 15 and a half minutes, almost 16 minutes. Thanks much for your time.
Yeah, you bet, Al.
Talk to you tomorrow.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.